He writes, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we continue our studies in Ephesians, we turn to chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." This is God's word. You may be seated. Lord, fill us with your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In Jesus' name, dear fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. As the people of Israel wandered through the wilderness, God instructed them to construct a tabernacle, a place for him to dwell in. A place for God to visit his people and fill them with his wonders. We read from Exodus chapter 40, the end of Exodus. "Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In our study of Ephesians, we have been considering Paul's emphasis on the church. The church is described as a living, growing assembly, the assembly of all believers of all time, purchased with the blood of Christ and built on him as the cornerstone. By God's pure grace, we have been adopted to become members of this building project. We read in our pre-service devotion, which you have on page 2 of your service folder, of this project. "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens and members of the household of God." And verse 22, "in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." God's glory is no longer hidden or contained in the tabernacle under the old covenant. Under the new covenant, we are the dwelling place of God, where God's glory comes uncovered in Christ to fill us with his wonders. We're filled with the fullness of God, the fullness of Christ dwelling in us, the fullness of the saints, and the fullness of his abundant power. Under the old covenant, God dwelt in what is called the holiest of holies. It was a place that could only be visited by the high priest, and only once a year. It was separated. It would separate the people from God by a curtain. And so we find Jesus coming, dying on the cross and the veil torn in two, so that this separation no longer exists, so that by faith we enter the Holy of Holies, or should we say the Holy of Holies enters us. We are filled with the fullness of Christ. Verse 17, "that Christ would dwell in your hearts through faith." This has been called the mysterious union, the union of the believer with Christ, made one, filled with the glory of God. At times, this may seem difficult for us to believe, because as we look within ourselves, we don't see much glory. Rather than being filled with that glory of God, our honest eyes see filled with evil, stretching in every direction, from jealousy to bitterness to doubt to animosity. We're given enough, but never satisfied. We're filled with the good things of God, and yet we would rather be filled often with evil things. How can God dwell in this polluted environment? Well, we're exactly right to ask these questions. Of ourselves, we would not be a fit dwelling place for God. Because without Christ, the glory of God had to be contained behind that veil, or else it would destroy us if it entered us. This is why God has not built on the foundation of you or me. He has built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, that God has come to us through him. The book of Colossians, Paul's epistle, is parallel to a lot of the thoughts we've been considering in Ephesians. And it's there in Colossians 1 we read, "And Jesus is the head of the body, the church. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by himself to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." God has sucked out the pollution of sin, and he has filled you with his Son, a dwelling place. Notice how that reference in Colossians referred both to the blood of the cross and the body of his flesh. Colossians also describes how in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead, meaning that his blood was God shedding himself for your sins. And his body was God in the flesh, taking your place under the law and dying on the cross for you. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are made full in him, is what Colossians says. For this reason, Paul bows his knee. We have a prayer inspired by the Spirit. Verse 19, that you would know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. The fullness of God found rooted in love. All the knowledge in the world, the highest heights of scholarship, could not grasp what Paul is talking about here. Because it's not a factual knowledge. It's not a knowledge that can only be known by intellect. It's a knowledge that comes to the heart of the three-year-old that joins us in Vacation Bible School this week. It comes to the heart of the 90-year-old who is facing death or cancer as he clings to this. The precious shape that fills the empty soul. This is where our roots lie. Rooted and grounded in love, verse 17. So that the deeper and deeper we dig into the knowledge of our Savior's love, the more our love grows as we expand and grow in our faith. As we struggle to see the glory of God at work in us, it might be because we're looking to the wrong roots. The source of God's love is found in the Word and in that truth that Jesus has given himself for you. Filled to the fullness of Christ. In Old Testament times, Under the Old Covenant, the Israelites were spoken of as God's people, His holy people. But as far as numbers were concerned, this was only external. Indeed, they were God's people. They had His covenant, they had His word, and they were heirs of the promise. But Paul points out in his epistles that this fullness is found not in church membership. It's found in the faith we have in Christ, the collection of all believers in Christ who fills all in all. Let us comprehend the fullness of the saints. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. For this reason, the right question to ask is, for what reason? When you find references like this, it's good to look back. As we look back then to chapter 3, we see a mystery revealed that the Gentiles, and not just the Jews, Israel, would be members of the family of God. We look back to what our pre-service devotion said, that you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but you're fellow citizens with the saints, that you are the saints. Filled with God's fullness. And so our prayer each Sunday is to our Father in heaven, meaning this whole family in heaven and on earth. Throughout the epistle here is being referenced the collection of the saints, the believers. As chapter 1 says, He has predestined us to adoption as sons with one Father, built on this foundation, both those who are in heaven, who have already passed on into eternity, and those who are on earth, who are still waiting for that deliverance. Thinking in these terms, we can see how vast this fullness is. Meaning, you are joined with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Reaching back to the beginning of time, you are joined with believers in heaven, with Martin Luther. And throughout the years of those Christians who have passed on. You are joined with those believers on the whole face of the earth, both in Illinois and in India. We're named after the Father. Verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. Consider the vastness of these dimensions. In the fullness of God's glory in the Old Testament, it always had to be contained before Christ came. Yet now God's glory spreads as far as the gospel is preached. Chapter 1 says, He has put all things under His feet and given Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. That these dimensions stretch. Verse 18, what is the width and length and depth and height? A vast fullness of the saints. Are you thinking big yet? Well, I'd like you to think even bigger. I'm talking immense. Gargantuan. The words go on and on to describe the full abundance Paul talks about in verse 20. To Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That translation, exceedingly abundantly, in the Greek is one word, superabundantly. Not only that, also above and beyond all we could ever imagine. As Paul says in Acts chapter 7, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. As the prophet says, Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? How great is God's fullness, His abundant power now revealed. How often the power doesn't show itself in quite the way we would expect. When God came to Elijah, He wasn't in the wind, He wasn't in the wave, but He was in the still small voice. That voice of Jesus that calmed the wind for His disciples. God has worked many mighty deeds. We've seen them. We've heard of them, such as parting the Red Sea so that the Israelites could be saved and having it crash down on the Egyptians. Yet the mightiest of all God's power is not actually seen with the eye. 1 Corinthians says, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God." This is what Paul is talking about when he says in chapter 1, "What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead." This is a power which changes hearts, which brings to us a trust in God's eternal purpose, a power which has raised his Son to be seated in heaven in glory, a power that has destroyed sin. So often we think small. And when I was reading this text, the first thing I thought about was rain. Our country is going through one of the largest droughts that it's gone through in such a long time. And I thought, couldn't God, in his abundant power, provide some rain? However, we saw God responding as he crashed through the other night with storms and rain watering the grass and moving on. And it was as if to say, is that all you would ask? How small I was thinking. Consider how God, with the power of his word, brought forth that flood we read about that destroyed the whole face of the earth. Notice how the exceeding abundant ability of God is according to the power that works in us. That it's in connection with the power that is in us through the word in our hearts. It's not above what we might imagine so often, not because we're not thinking big enough, but perhaps because we're not thinking high enough. We're not thinking in heavenly terms. For God, though he's concerned about the economy, and though he's concerned about your health, though he's concerned about your finances, has a much greater power at work. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That God is working a trust in your hearts. To trust him, to call upon him, and to pray about these things. To look to him as he equips you with a mighty faith for an eternal destination. So let's think big when we pray. Let's think beyond just the matters of this world and also think about God's will being done. The good of his kingdom filled with God's abundant power. As God filled that tabernacle in the wilderness, we read in Exodus how Moses couldn't enter because of that holiness, that greatness, that fullness. How amazing it is, which such glory now brought to us through Christ could be in our hearts. That God has equipped us with grace and his saving knowledge filled with Christ, filled with the fullness of the saints, and filled with a power so great that it would take us beyond this world to the fullness of his heavenly glory. Filled to the fullness of God. Let us pray. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. We rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Thank you. seated. We continue with the singing of our next hymn, hymn 364, stanzas 1 and 5 through 7.